All right, there it is. A sure sign that the Daily Dose is here, and we go out to Dallas for the special guest of the Daily Dose. Yeah, running towards a plane, by the way. We don't want to keep him from flying home. Tommy Tolbert, our guy, our afternoon man on the scene in Dallas. Welcome back, Tommy.
Hey, Tom.
How are you, brother?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're okay. Good. Weird day, obviously. Emotional day.
Yeah.
Heavy, heavy stuff, man.
Actually, I'll start with that. And knowing Steve as the lifelong friend of yours, we were wondering how, we were speculating how much it might have affected his actual, you know, night and maybe even coaching the game. What do you think?
I mean, I know it affected him, but I'd hate to get into that stuff because I think, you know, both teams were aware of it. Everybody was aware of it. And I can't say how it affected every individual person, but I guarantee you there wasn't one person that wasn't on their, that wasn't on their minds. So to the extent that it affected him, infected anybody, I don't know. But yes, it's definitely a personal subject matter for him because his dad, Malcolm, was assassinated, and that was when he was at Arizona. So I know for a fact that is that's something that really stings him deeply every time it happens. And, you know, we talked about it last night. It's just, you know, it happens more and more and more and more. And, you know, it's just, it's tough. I mean, you know, it affected me yesterday just because it always affects me, but maybe a little bit more yesterday because I have a granddaughter now who's 2 years old and she's half Latina. So most of the kids that died were Latinos and Latinas, just, you know, little babies that died. And that, you know, just thinking of Camila and not being there and being here and not being able to hold her and, you know, give her a hug and a kiss, that, you know, it was a, kind of messed me up a little bit yesterday. So I'm just hoping that at some point, you know, the government and the people realize that, I don't know what we can do. Maybe I'm not that smart. I'm not sure, but I know this road ain't working. There needs to be a different path and try something different because this is just not working. And it's just pathetic. We have to deal with this as much as we do.
Yeah, well said, as always. You're listening to KMBR and KMBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader and Cumulus Media Station. All right. And it's hard to transition to basketball. It's what we do, though. I mean, life goes on. And as Kerr says, we have to do something, but we also have to play a basketball game. And I guess, Tommy, they shot the three and they shot it against the Warriors zone. What did you see that they attacked the zone differently, maybe?
No, I just thought they made shots. I mean, sometimes you make shots, sometimes you miss shots. And Kleba hit shots last night. Block hit shots last night. Benny Smith hit shots last night. I mean, they were up 15 and a half, and Luka had a brutal offensive first half. He couldn't make a shot. I think he was 4 for 14 in the first half. He couldn't make a three-footer, couldn't make a 23-footer, couldn't make anything in between. I think he'd missed a couple free throws at that point. So to be up 15 at that point, you're thinking, okay, there probably is going to be a tough one because Luka's going to get going. At some point, he's just too good. And when the other guys are making shots, then they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, that team last night was the team that Phoenix had to deal with four times in that series. And that's why Phoenix is sitting home. Maxi Kleber at one point, I think before last night, was 2 for 18 from three against the Warriors. He shot over 50% from three against Phoenix. So, I mean, that's a huge difference when you start tacking on an extra 9 points to a game. But we saw it in game two. The first half, when they hit threes and they just drill them, then they're going to be really tough to beat. And for the first three quarters, they hit threes and then they stopped hitting threes. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is getting kind of interesting here. I'm not, whoa, hey, wait a minute. Wait. Oh, okay. Okay. It's over. So, but they, when they hit threes, they're tough. And I don't know, the zone has a ton to do with it. Maybe they played a little bit more last night than they usually do. Usually they use it to kind of mix up, but they're trying to keep Luka from getting to the paint. Maybe give Wiggins a little bit of rest too, because it's a tough guard in that big dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, they hit shots last night, basically.
Yeah. So if they keep hitting shots, is it like game five is in, you know, I'm gonna say in question, but I mean, if they keep hitting shots.
No. I mean, well, look, I think every game's in question.
Yeah.
These games, you know, the biggest spread in the games are like 5.5 points. So the Warriors aren't huge favorites, even when they're even when they're at home. Dallas was favored twice. Here in Dallas, they were favored by like 3 and then last night by 1. So it's not like the Warriors are expected to manhandle this team every single game. I mean, they're supposed to be good games. Yeah, I mean, look, if a team's going to hit 20, 21 threes, then you're probably going to be in trouble. And there are certain guys on this team, I think you have to figure out a way to take that extra half step to the closeout so that you make him put the ball on the ground. Even if you run by him, Kleyva's a guy. You got to make him put the ball on the ground. Finney Smith did it a couple times last night and finished, but he'd rather catch and shoot. Bullock is a guy. You got to make him put the ball on the ground. I mean, there are guys on the team that really can strike the three, and you can't just let them catch and get their feet set and shoot it. You got to make them do something different. Put the ball on the ground, slip out to the side and try to shoot it, go to the hoop and try to pass it, make a play. If you let them catch and shoot, they get comfortable. Those are the things that can happen. But I would say this. I mean, making 20-plus threes is not an easy task.
Right.
So I don't expect them to repeat that 3 more times.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, Tom Tolbert in Dallas on his way home, though. On his way home for Game 5.
Come on home.
Come on home, baby. Come on home. Jason Kidd said an interesting quote. He goes, yeah, when they play zone, they're telling us they can't guard us one-on-one. He goes, so that's a compliment.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think what it is they're telling you, you got one dude on your team who's maybe the best offensive weapon in the game. That's what they're telling you, that this guy is a handful and then some, 3 handfuls. And Wiggins does about as good a job as you can do with this guy. He's been really good on Doncic, but this guy's just a stud, an absolute stud. And what you're worried is he breaks your defense down, then you got to help off, and then they get wide open threes. So that's it. It has nothing to do with they can't guard these guys one-on-one. I mean, that's preposterous. Then maybe they can. Luka, yes, absolutely. But who can really guard this guy? I mean, he's that good. When he gets it going, he's ridiculously tough to stop. But I thought that was pretty funny when he said that last night. I hope he got a chuckle out of it, too. It's a pretty good joke.
I think he was doing a little needle. By the way, maybe the most important thing of the night is the leaky roof, dude. I hope you didn't get dripped on. And how about Cuban? Yeah. How about Mark Cuban's reaction?
Yeah, he's steaming. Tough look from Mark.
Joe Lacob's like, my roof doesn't leak.
Yeah, no, we've sealed it up. Yeah.
Maybe he's going to have to save some of that Shark Tank money.
Yeah.
Stop investing in styrofoam frisbees or whatever he's doing on Shark Tank. I don't know. But, yeah, that was weird. You don't get rain delays inside very often. But I was scared because I was watching these. It looked like a couple kids. They probably weren't kids, but they weren't that old. They're up there harnessed into the roof on these beams, walking around like trying to figure out where this is coming from. I'm like, oh God, I don't even want to watch these guys up there. you know when you're harnessed in, the walkway's not as wide as it should be, and I was like, I don't want to look at these guys. Just tell me when they're down.
Dude, no. Seriously.
Anything involving a harness.
Those kids got the cojones to get up there and do that. Oh, my God.
Try to avoid that.
God bless them, man.
No.
I have trouble changing a light bulb on a ladder. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, man, oh, man. Well, that is.
I don't need a ladder, Mer.
No, well, there you go. That's the beauty of Tommy T. Hey, I know what you're out the door here, buddy, but just anything to, you know, not closing out in Denver, not closing out in Memphis, not closing out in Dallas. I don't know. They like it at Chase. They're undefeated at Chase. It's the NBA playoffs. It's hard. Teams have pride. So I don't know if you saw it coming a little bit and how you feel about Game 5.
Well, I feel good about Game 5. I think they're the better team. But people need to realize these teams are good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not they're not 15-point favorites in these games where they're supposed to just roll somebody. They are good teams. So when they win, don't be shocked. Don't be like, oh, the Warriors blew it. The Warriors kicked it. The Warriors punted that game. No! This is a good team with one of the best players, an all-NBA first-teamer on their roster. I mean, it is a really good – they took out the number one seed. So it has nothing to do with, oh, they didn't want to win. They wanted to get back home and close it out. They wanted it. No, they just lost a basketball game which they did plenty of times throughout the course of the regular season. And it happens throughout the playoffs. I look at Boston, Miami, and they're beating the hell out of each other. So to think you're going to go through the playoffs unscathed is if it happens, great. But I don't ever, ever expect it at all. So, no, I just think it's ridiculous that you win. Oh, we expect to win now. And if we lose, it's because Steve did something wrong. Our shot selection was terrible. We didn't care. We're not trying as hard. I mean, look, any of those things could be true to a certain extent, a small percentage, but how about giving the other team a little credit? They get paid a lot of money to play basketball. They're pretty good, too. And you know what? Yeah. I do have to go, but I too bad I do, because that all happened in the Giants game last night.
Oh, my God, Tommy.
I know you don't have time to tell me. No. I missed the bus on that one, but I was following it on the phone going, because I saw the score when I was at the game. I go, 6-2. I go, okay, 6-2. They might be able to win a game. And I turned it back. It was 7-6. Then it was 8-6. And I was like, wait, 9-6. And it was like 8-8. Then 11-8. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
And then jump.
11-11. And then 12-11. I go, they're going to really come back all the way back and lose. And then I was falling. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was just falling on my scoring app. And I was like, oh, my God. They won this game. I go, that's incredible.
Well, you have some fun with Cope's Talk. Or either you probably won't do the show today, right? You're in the air. But anyway, you guys.
No, I'm going to get there. And then the Giants play during the day. So after the game, we'll have
two games
to talk about.
Yeah, will.
I'll get home in time to watch some of the game this afternoon.
Well, the Jock 3 tanks you guys are going to talk about. And the fact that Barry Bonds, it was Barry. Barry pulled him into Mike Murphy's office, kept him almost till game time talking hitting. Jock said, it's 6:25, dude, I got to go. And he went out and he said that Barry was in his mind in the box about just eliminating distractions and staying focused on pitches. And so Barry Lamar with the assist on the Jock 3 homer night. So you're pumped,
can you talk
buddy.
To everybody?
Yeah, right, exactly. Go talk to, should we talk about a rookie catcher maybe you should talk to?
I don't want to single anybody out. Let's just make a goose, though.
All right. Hey, man, and to your point about the losing a game, you and I old enough to remember Moses Malone,
Oh, hell yeah.
And they did not. They lost one.
They did lose
so
one.
So even Moses couldn't guarantee the sweep,
five. Yeah, yeah.
Rambis said. What the hell did you just say?
By the way, next time we talk, let's just do a whole segment on Moses Malone.
Fine.
All right?
And Rambis. Throw him in there, too.
Incredible player.
All right, man. Take care, Tommy.
Safe travels, Tommy.
All right, boys. Have a good morning.
Yeah, he's good, man. That's fun there.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.